Blog Talk Radio.
We're a nation of haters under their control. Rise up, everybody, and burn down, burn down the system. Fails the exit polls. Wake up the silence.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show, episode number 72, and I'm here with the great, awesome Michael West, who will be co-hosting tonight. Michael, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Relieved? I hear King Caesar is pretty excited.
yes, he is most excited. The old dogs for Raiden. He's very
excited. Yeah, dogs for Raiden. That's cool. Oh man.
I just told him right before we went on air, and that's his response. So he's
fantastic.
He's very excited.
Yeah, bit relieved.
Why don't you tell everybody why you're so relieved?
42 days, over 43 updates on a Kickstarter campaign, literally not a day off. For 42 days, came down to the last 2 hours this morning. Shortly after 10 a.m., we crossed the pledge goal, and I'm proud to say that Seven Star Press will be opening up visual media projects with the Raiden Valkyrie TV pilot, and we do have it, and we're moving forward. So this is good, but oh my God, not so good for the blood pressure.
Yeah, I'm
not sure I'd want to. Not sure I'd wanna you know, have measured it and in those final 2 hours.
Yeah.
But
it's probably good thing you didn't have a doctor's appointment today or
no. But mainly too is it's on behalf of the people that busted their tail every single day on it. I mean, we had what I call a core team that literally, I mean, was working on it every day. I mean, content wise, I mean, promotion wise, I mean, we actually had a, you know, very, very tight knit team with Frank Hall and Eric and Kylie Jude. And we also had Julie Fink and then my publicist, Jennifer Malone Wright, dived in with Aces with this, you know, just, God, I had conversations with her everywhere from 4 in the morning to 7 in the morning. I mean, you know, just crazy times. I mean, she'd be always doing stuff with this campaign and you know, keeping in touch with me. Just great, great job by everybody. And Kylie's videos were awesome. And, but yeah, so it's much for them and everybody that was sharing and rooting for the project and the backers. I mean, after 42 days, I mean, you just got to get it there. I mean, we had to get it there.
Right. Right.
So yeah, that's it's a relief, and yeah, we'll move forward and hopefully, you know, like I said, have a Michael West cameo at the beginning of this pilot. That'd be awesome.
That's what everyone wants, I'm sure.
Maybe Michael can be one of the villagers being saved by Raiden against the evil barbarians.
Yeah. There we go. There we go.
But,
I can.
Peter Welmerich already wants to be one of the people killed by Raiden, so he wants to be done in by Raiden. Okay, yeah, we got plenty of those in this pilot. Yeah, we need some fodder. Yeah, that's for sure. But oh man. But we are Yeah, we're relieved. It was a hard, hard campaign, but it was impressive. I mean, we actually, I don't know if you followed some of the stats, but we actually hit the top 10 in Kickstarter on film projects, and we, for a while, were the top television project, and for a while, we were also the top project in Kentucky in all categories, and I was like 1,553 projects, I think, at the time, and we were like the most popular.
I saw that.
So that was,
most,
that was way
impressive.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really cool to kind of get noticed, I guess, in that way. But yeah, we had 187 backers. I will always call them the 187, and they're the ones that made it possible. Because in the end, I mean, they're the ones that, you know, make the difference. And yeah, you know, we can do all the work in the world, but unless somebody steps forward and, you know, believes in it enough to pledge, you know, you're not going to get there. So, I mean, every person, no matter if they donated $5 or $500, I mean, every single one of them made a difference, and that's why I proudly call them the 187. So, so what's up in Michael world? Listen, you know, we had some good news there, but yeah, what's going on with you?
Nothing. Since we were last on the air, I was at the book fair in Madison, Indiana, and
it was awesome.
Had a wonderful time with the Holler and Holly's hot dogs and hamburgers and the it always amazes me going to a small town like that, just how many, you know, they keep saying that, you know, print is dead and everything's moving to the digital medium. And actually there are several reports that have come out that counteract that. But if you want proof that print is not dead, you should go to one of these small town events and just see how many people come out and just buy books by the crate load.
Yeah, it was a very successful weekend for me. I mean, I had a great time and ended up moving some books, and you know, of course, Holler and Holly was rocking it in Frank's concessions there, and it was great. I mean, it was a very, very well run, as always. I mean, it was so hospitable and great. I mean, it was just really enjoyable, and I never would miss that one.
Yeah, no, that's an event that I try to make it to every year. It's great to. Anytime I get to interact with the readers, it's always a great time. When you spend your day hunched over your laptop and it's just you and the dog, who's you know, not going to say anything bad about what you're doing. It's good to actually, you know, get to interact with the readers and you know, hear their thoughts and whatnot. I actually had someone at a recent event buy a second copy. This is the first time this has ever happened that I know of. Buy a second copy of one of my books because they wore the first one out. They read it so much.
Nice. Now, see, being intrigued by great ideas from our fellow authors like Carol Preflatish and Molly Daniels, and they were talking to me about these great dispensers of adult beverages, and we came up with a great idea for a bourbon dispenser. And so not only can you do books, but you can also get great accessory ideas if you like bourbon. So, but yeah, we had a lot of fun talking about that.
Yeah,
of course, we had our traditional stop at the Ponderosa. Don't forget the Ponderosa. Yeah, we did have our tradition.
Oh, I know. That's always the highlight. One of the highlights of the weekend is the writer get together, the siege of Ponderosa.
They know we're coming. We took up several tables.
We took up practically the whole room.
That was fantastic.
A good half of it, anyway. But that is also one of the better. It's like I know if you're traveling through Madison that Ponderosa might not be top on your list of places to stop, but you should really stop at the Ponderosa in Madison because it's one of the better Ponderosas around. They have the Oreo fluff.
Yes,
the mint fluff, for dessert, which
yes.
is outstanding.
Delightful. Delightful. But speaking of outstanding, we have an outstanding guest tonight, guests plural. I had to actually go to the liquor store and buy some Fireball because it's tradition that I drink this particular beverage when this man is on. And his company is the great Hydra Publications. And tonight we are showcasing Hydra Publications, and so he's kind of here wearing a little bit more of the publisher hat. Of course, he's a great author in his own right and with a great series himself. And, and then I know that at least one of his writers from the book that we're highlighting tonight, Dystopian Express, Colonel D.R. Acula, wonderful fellow, and he will get a special treatment as well. And first, we're going to bring on we'll bring on Tony, and then we'll sneak the Colonel on here in a bit. But let's bring on Tony Acri. You are on the air, and I've got my Fireball.
Hi guys. I'm feeling really good. So Fireball. Yeah.
You were doing some show prepping.
Hey, let me start off by saying, I can't get things started unless I say congratulations to Steven on getting Valkyrie funded. We were all very excited because again, to go on that kind of a journey to help you. You're a man of vision. Imaginarium, you make it happen. You want to make a TV pilot, you make it happen. So for people out there in both the writing world and the filmmaking world, you can sit back and wait for it to happen, or you can make it happen. And you deserve a lot of kudos for knowing what you want to do, going and getting it, and making it happen. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And a lot of that has to do with surrounding yourself with great people. And that's really the secret to any of those things. And, and a film project is like that, too. Yeah, definitely on this one, with Kylie, Eric, and Frank, and Julie, and Jennifer, and everybody, sharing and posting. I mean, it was just wonderful. But thank you. But, we are here tonight, though, to talk about Dystopian Express, which, by the way, to segue from the Madison Authors Fair discussion, sold out. And actually, I should mention, I actually was so quick, I actually bought the first print copy of it there, and lucky I did.
He did, and I tell you what, it's gratifying as far as how it came together. I've traveled to so many shows, and I meet people like you and Michael and a lot of the individuals who are in the book, and it gives me an opportunity to work with some of the great small press authors that are in this region. And you just can't beat it, because when you get to work, a couple of the writers were already Hydra authors. That'd be Dave Creek. And, Nigel Sellers was another one that's already a member of the Hydra family. But, like, C. Brian Brown and Jeff Provine and, Michael Epstein, and it goes down the list. It gives us a chance at Hydra to work with some very talented people. And they already feel like family. But this way now, officially, they are part of the Hydra family. So it's just always a joy when you get to work with people that you really like and you've got to know. So.
Oh, yeah, you have a great list. And C. Brian Brown, of course, I love that guy. He's one of my brothers in metal. And, of course, the great Michael Epstein, who wins, like, tons of awards at Imaginarium for his film work. He's a brilliant filmmaker. It was so cool to see him in the Antho. Then, of course, we have one of yours that's on cue tonight to talk. So,
we can't forget the Colonel, because, again, it was at Imaginarium, my very first Imaginarium. And I walk in, and almost literally the first two people I meet are the Colonel and, of course, the uber-talented Miss Kylie. And so, so I met them right off the bat. Didn't know who they were, but they were a lot of fun. And that's another thing, like, that springs out of Imaginarium, it springs out of, doing the Dystopian Express, is, again, the people you get to work with. But, the Colonel's got it going on, although, he's really whacked out. He's a whacked out dude. So, very talented.
I think our radar is picking up the approach of the Colonel. There he is. I think that means that the Colonel's on the way. Welcome to the show, Colonel. You are on the air.
Welcome.
And we just used our sound effects budget for the year.
But it's so worth it.
Hey, Colonel, I wanted to say real quick, Colonel, that sound effect, there was a girl I used to date, and every time I came over, her father played that. I don't know why. So I've heard that before.
That's cool.
Jump in, Colonel.
Hey, doing pretty good. Hey, and where you're a colonel as well. It might
That's
be a
exactly
colonel
right. Thing. I am a Kentucky colonel, a very proud Kentucky colonel. And I slipped through the doors. They didn't see me coming. And the main thing is now I get to have a really cool license plate and eat barbecue. So, you know.
I need to get a license plate. I don't have one yet.
Well, I had one, but I recently switched my license plate to officer, which is in one way is very vain, but at the same time, when I travel and you go to a hotel and they ask you what your car license plate is, I've got that covered.
That's cool.
It's so cool. I love it.
Well, our license plates used to be scary one and two scary. But we still have the scary one, but in Indiana they stopped allowing vanity plates.
Ah.
So if you had it, you could keep it. But
gotcha.
It had to be like if you had a car, it had to be on a car. If you had a truck, it had to be on a truck. If you switched from one to another and needed a different type of plate, you couldn't get it, and that's what happened is we went from two cars.
You know, I was going to say, I could go on a whole rant about the politics in Indiana, which we won't do that in this show, but it let's put it this way, it doesn't surprise me. So
No.
Well, Stephen, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask the Colonel to tell everybody a little bit about his story. Which appears in the Soaping Express.
Which we were going to ask him, but you got to beat us to it.
There you go. Dude, again, I'm drinking Fireball. I'm moving along, so you got to keep up.
You know,
hey, I'm
you
drinking
know
Fireball
awesome
now.
You know what's awesome is if you get hot apple cider and you put Fireball in it.
Ooh, that would be cool, too. We make fire
yeah.
peppers. We mix it with caffeine-free Diet Dr. Pepper.
Oh, okay.
And we call it a fire pepper.
Yeah. But I had my Fireball whiskey, and I was like in the mood for some apple cider. I'm like, well, you know what? Cinnamon? Apple cider?
Mm-hmm.
So I just, I poured some in there, and it was so good.
These are brilliant human beings.
So,
anyway, back to the story.
All right. So my story in the Soaping Express, which the way I found that this book was being had a call out for submission, I just so happened one night I was like, "Huh, well, I want to check out the Hydra Publications website," and I got poking around looking, and I was like, "Let's see if they're taking submissions for anything." You know, I do that a lot for different places, just go look about, and I saw this call for this dystopian, and I was like, I could write that. I've never wrote a dystopian, but why not? So I got to thinking about a few stories, and I actually wrote two that I ended up scrapping. But the previous winter, there was a lot of polar vortexes and just really cold, nasty weather, and I got this ideal. And I was like, oh, this right here might be good. Someone might like it. So the
snow
code. It's very similar to actually snow snakes. It's kind of the same. Same snow snakes might be a prequel.
I see plenty of movie possibilities right here, Stephen. You know, the West has the Tremors, and Kentucky has the snow snakes. So, snow snakes have Fireball pronunciation.
Oh yeah, love that short film.
It's all right.
Oh, I've only seen it 19 times, literally.
I can see it at 9 p.m. on Sci-Fi Channel any Saturday night.
a double feature, Sharknado 17 and Snow.
Yeah.
Right there.
You heard what the title is for the new Sharknado, right?
I actually have not.
It's Sharknado, the Fourth Awakens.
You already had me laughing by saying the new Sharknado movie, because it's just amazing that anytime you add new to Sharknado, it's like, and then they wonder why we get the politicians running for president in this country that we get, right? So be like, I'm going to vote for this person and go see that Sharknado double feature. You know, that's what happens. So, carefully, Acri. Go ahead.
So the short story, Jotnar, which is Norse, which is, it's Icelandic or Swedish. It's in the Norse mythology. A Jotnar is a singular for the Jotnun, which are the ice giants in Norse mythology. So the story takes place sometimes in the future, long after a cataclysmic earth change disrupts the climate, the landscape, life, and the government. What lurks in the shadows of the icy north? What are the giant beasts that breathe the wind and ice? Where did they come from? What was on that paper? Do you dare brave the frozen world of Jotnar to discover the truth? So there's my tagline. My little...
Well, there you go.
But it takes place. It's got a single hero character, and you follow this character as they venture into a frozen wasteland. A lot of dystopians, like Mad Max, that's a really good dystopian story. And the Book of Eli, that kind of has the same theme. It's desert, you know, scorched earth, real hot. I didn't really want to go that direction. I want to go in the opposite. I want to go to frozen, you know, like an ice age. Just really cold and nasty. And that was the basis of that story.
Well, we're proud to have you along, because, again, this just shows you, I mean, this kind of, you know, just out of their imagination is what makes this book so good, because you get a lot of different storylines. Of course, obviously, they're all dystopian and they have, you know, that theme, but you get such wild and varied imaginations and people who are good at putting them down on paper. And, you know, there's it's great to have the Colonel and people along. So,
well, it's a really great honor to be in this story. And this is actually the first story that is not self-published by me. So this is the first time a publisher has ever looked at anything I ever wrote and said, hey, that's all right, I want to print it. So really, really, you know, awesome moment for me. And I appreciate
it. And we gave you money for it.
Yeah, I got money for it. That's the real cool part about it. It's like, suckers.
Yeah. Well, no, dude, haven't you heard we sold out at the author's affair? And I think that's going to be a common theme with this book. I'm just going to raise it up in my hand and go, yeah, I've got Dystopian Express, and boom, they're all gone.
Well, you know, it's great to see some of these themed anthologies, because, you know, you get some of these themes and you're like, you know, for instance, when I did Vampires Don't Sparkle, I was thinking, here I am, I'm going to get, like, you know, 13 vampire stories that are all going to be, you know, it's the same field that we're mining, so it's they're all going to be alike. And not two of them were alike. And sometimes it's really cool as an editor and as a reader to see some of these themes where people just take the basic idea and they just run with it. You get to see everybody's, you know, twisted imaginations at work.
One of my favorite things about anthologies is that I kind of have a short attention span when it comes to reading. But when you read a really good story or a story in general, and it's over, like a novel. You know, you spend all this time in a novel reading it, which is good, but when it's over, you know, you got to wait for the next book, or maybe it was the last one in the series. With an anthology, as soon as you read one story, you can move on to another. You know, eventually they'll run out. but you get to explore multiple worlds instead of one.
Right. Yeah, I find especially, you know, as busy as I get sometimes, that it's harder for me to, because when I read a novel, I get into a novel. You know, it's like I exclude all other things when I really get into a novel. So sometimes it's easier for me to pick up a lot of short fiction and read that than it is to sit down and read a novel. And plus the nice thing about short fiction is, you know, especially if you've got an anthology that's full of different authors, is you discover people, which is always cool.
Oh, you're totally, and it's also great for me as a writer. It's a chance for me to, God, it's really awful if you spend, you know, 2 or 3 years writing something like a novel and it get rejected, you know. The thing about a short story, you know, you spend less time on it. You submit it out there and just pray, but you devote less of your life to. So that's one thing I really like about anthologies.
Well, it also gives people a chance, particularly, and again, it's what I like about this region, the writers that you find both at Seven Star Press, which Stephen runs, which includes Michael and a lot of other talented writers, and then Locadio Press with James Barnes and you know, Postmortem and Hydra. Is that an anthology like this gives people a chance? It's a gateway read into other people's writing career. So you know, the great thing, if they read your book, Colonel, if they read something by Dave Creek or Nigel or whoever, then they go, you know, this guy's really good, and then they go and find those people. Again, it's a gateway read. So and the other advantage to having a dystopian novel is, like tomorrow I'm going to the dentist. And I'm going to be reading this novel, this anthology, while they're working on me, because I do believe that dystopian anthologies and dentists go really well together. So, yeah, go ahead and shoot me up with that Novocaine. I don't care. I got my dystopian novel. I'm right at home. Go ahead.
Is it safe? Tony's next project, Dental Dystopian. Coming up soon.
Yeah, but there'll be so many people that want to write it. I mean, I would get like 1,000 submissions. And then everyone, the sad part is you can't do it, because in every dystopian dentist novel, the dentist dies. In every single one of them. Because that's what we would all want, right? So, you know, when you know the ending that's coming, it kind of takes away from it. Just saying.
Very true. Very true. And I do want to give a little bit of a shout out to your
really
editors
that,
on this project,
really
Robin Blankenship and Nepha Hall.
I really think that anthology though would fill a cavity in our genres that we have.
Oh, dude, you went there.
But
you know, that comment has some teeth in it. I don't know what you're going to say, but
yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, sorry.
you better bring Robin in right now.
I bet there would be a lot of biting reviews though.
I'm gonna stop. I can keep going, but I'm gonna stop now because I'm gonna get in trouble.
But, Stephen, yeah. You know, you are right. You know, a big shout out to Robin Blankenship and Frank Hall. You know, F.L. Hall. You know, totally was awesome for me to work with them in this story. Great editors.
Well, and also, just to give a little background in case people don't know, Hydra Publications was originally started by Frank Hall, and then it was my pleasure to be able to help when he decided to go in different directions. You know, it was a great joy for me to be able to keep his dream, his vision alive. And, you know, we've all, both Imaginarium and in a lot of other events, a lot of people around here could not function without Robin. So working with both of them on this project is a true joy, and they're both professionals. And they did an excellent job. So are you there, Robin?
Yeah, Robin is in the chat room. Unfortunately, she has some allergy situation that's affected her voice tonight. So she's not she kind of lost her voice. So she's not able to come on the air, but she is in the chat room.
Has she not heard the rest of us? Her with allergies is going to sound better than I do on just about any day. So...
I believe we have both of them. Yeah, we have F.L. Hall in the chat room, too. So Yeah, we got both of your enemies lurking there.
Okay, and Robin said, because people can't see the chat room, Robin said, "Aw, thank you. You cannot see it, but I took a bow." You know, laughing out loud. So see, that way, Robin, we got you on the air, what you really said, because, you know, I could have read it with a British voice, you know, "Oh, thank you. You cannot see me, but I took a bow." That's more Australian, but we can do it. So.
Cheerio.
I'm going to see Brian Brown, though. I'd like to see, he suggested the curtsy, so. I mean, I think Robin should have to do a curtsy.
And
yes,
Robin's also edited and co-edited some kick-ass anthologies for Seven Star, too.
Yes, she has Perfect Flaw with us. And definitely, that definitely, you know, has some dystopian themes, too, and... But, yeah, she definitely, I mean, I thought your selection of editors was fantastic for this one.
Well, and this is also, I should mention, this is the first anthology that Hydra's done since the early days, I guess. And on the heels of this one, we're just talking dystopian, but we've got another one, a sci-fi anthology, which the ebook is out, and we just approved the print version today. So it should go live, the print version should go live in a... in a week or so. So we've got the dystopian side, because one of the things about Hydra Publications, we're a genre press, so we carry, you know, mystery, thrillers, horror, but we didn't have a large catalog of either sci-fi or dystopian or those kind of novels, and it's been an actual goal of mine to increase those type of titles that we carry, and that's one of the reasons why we wanted to do the dystopian anthology. It's another reason why we've done the Trajectories, which is the sci-fi anthology. So, because as Steven knows and Michael knows, we go to a lot of these conventions, and there are a lot of people who love this kind of writing. And so, from a standpoint of Hydra Publications, we're trying to – this is feedback. People told us what they wanted, and we're trying to provide it for them.
Mm-hmm.
What was the name of the sci-fi one that just came out? I remember seeing a poster.
Trajectories. It's Trajectories. It's edited by Dave Creek, and it's got some of the well-known, even nationwide, writers that have been involved in that one. That's Farhawk and several others who are involved. And we're very excited to have that coming out. And this is the start of the show season for most of us. So, you know, going to a lot of the different conventions. And, we're constantly being asked for these kind of titles. And so to have front and center for us most of the summer is going to be Dystopian Express and Trajectory. So we're very excited to have this group of authors, you know, join the house.
Pretty cool. You know, I like it because, you know, some of the things you said as an author, that means that, you know, you're really proud of these anthologies. So you're going to promote them, you know, you're going to take them places, and that's going to promote me. That's pretty cool, you know.
Sure. Well, the problem I have is, and Steve and Michael will tell you this, when I go to a show, I'm really shy. I have a hard time talking to people.
Yeah, right.
And I'm trying to overcome that. So, Colonel, I hope that I'll be able to do you justice. I'm going to try to rise to the occasion and do that.
Well, thank you.
Why are you guys laughing?
Well, yeah, this is the same guy that walked out and sold in a few minutes a dozen books to people just standing in line to get into the vending hall at Phantom Fest. Yeah, so yeah, shy.
Well, that's really a fact. That was one of the more interesting conversations we started, because I was brand new with Frank. I was at my second show, and there's like 150 people standing out in line, and they're all, when I walk by them, they're all bored. They're standing in line to get into Phantom Fest. Just sitting there going, you just see the look of, oh, man, I wish I had something to do. It's like, I can give you something to do. And so we took, we handed out, you know, cards about my book an hour before. And then I went, and Frank, we carried out, you know, a handful of books and walked out and said, inside, my book is $15. Out here, you get the I'm Bored and Line discount for $10. Raise your hand, you get it for 10 bucks. And a bunch of hands went up. And so we were able to sell some books before the event even started. And because we've all been there, we've all been in line at either a convention or a concert or whatever, just wishing we had something to do, and we were able to take care of that.
I remember, Stephen telling
you're
me story.
You're a true innovator.
Well, I'm loud. So, but again, it's one situation where we've all been there, you know. I learned early on when I went shopping with my wife, and this is the classic situation where you go shopping, she tries on 10 dresses, and you have to say they all look good. Because the moment you go, well, maybe not that one. Why not? And then you got to explain, and you don't want to do that. So you have to say, honey, that looks great. But she's trying on 10 dresses. And before, for you young people, there was a time before cell phones and iPads and that kind of stuff where if you didn't bring a book with you, you had nothing to do. And I learned when I went shopping with my wife, I would bring a book, find the dressing room, find the mannequin stand closest to the dressing room, and sit down with my book and wait for her to come out and ask me to tell her, yes, honey, you look beautiful, so she could go try on another dress and I could get back to reading. And I would see other men or other women bring on the, I wish I'd brought a book. That was so smart. Yeah, it really was. So that's where it came from.
So the next time that you go out and about with your wife shopping, take the Dystopian Express.
Oh, dude, that is so cool. What I would do.
So, hello. So what's the... Tony's leaving us to ponder Dystopian Express right there. Oh, man.
No, I figured, well, see, I don't want to monopolize all the talking time. I figured this is where one of you other professional Star Chamber, hosts would jump in and go, no, I've got a cool question. Because it's like, if you let me go, particularly on Fireball, this could go a while. So I'm trying to give you guys a chance to jump in.
No, we've got cool questions. I mean, or yeah, well, maybe
right.
Some might judge differently.
What's your next cool question?
Well, give us a little sampling
now
about
now
some of the stories.
Now expecting cool questions.
Cool question.
What was that, Stephen?
Oh, just in the process of it, you know. I mean, obviously, I mean, like I said, you know. It's one thing, you know, without having the editors here to talk about it. But as far as, like, the process, you know, how in your view, like, you know, talking to Frank and Robin, I mean, how did the development of it go in terms of, you know, the selection and, you know, what kind of approach they had?
We were very lucky in that when we put the word out for submissions, we were overwhelmed with submissions, which is a good thing because – you know, thanks to being at places like Imaginarium where we won the Jason Sizemore Small Publisher Award. See how I got that plug in there? And matter of fact,
yeah.
Ready for this? We won an award Jason Sizemore has never won. So Jason Sizemore has never won the Jason Sizemore Small Press Publishing Award. But we won it. But when you meet people, but it gives us a chance. So we actually got a lot of submissions. And the great thing about what I like to do when you get people as talented as Frank and Robin, this was their baby because I trust their judgment. So we let them read the stories down. They would send some to me for me to take a look at. But primarily this was up to Frank and Robin and primarily Frank Hall because, I mean, this was Frank's idea. Frank said, hey, I've got this idea for an anthology. I think this would be really good. And I'm like, dude, I'm in. I think this would be fantastic. So this was Frank's idea. You know, we put out the submissions. Frank did most of the winnowing of, and it was very hard cause when we got down to, because we were planning on doing something around 75,000 words, which is what Hydra's standard book size is. When we got to that point and we had to leave some things out, you know, it got to where we were leaving out some really good stories. But again, Frank and then Robin on the editing, I just think they just did a fabulous job. But we were blessed that we had more submissions. We didn't have to go begging for submissions. We got a ton. And it warms a publisher's heart when the people that you work with and that you really enjoy doing work, you know, at these shows with take the time to submit. And then from there, you know, Frank picked out the best group. And then he and Robin did the editing. And then and I should say, did the formatting. So on a project like this, I like to delegate it to the people that know what they're doing. And Frank and Robin definitely know.
So a ton of submissions. I guess the rumors are true that Frank's legion of cats were his slush pile readers. So, yeah.
Well, and that Siamese cat, when she gets into it, it's Katie bar the door. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. So.
Well, he does. He does have an impressive array of cats. That's for sure. No question.
I want to get in a shout out to J.H. Glaze, who did the cover.
Absolutely.
It's a pretty awesome cover. I mean, when I first seen it, you know, I had no clue what it was going to be like, and you got to get a preview of it, and I was like, awesome.
I did not know that Jeff did the cover for it. That's awesome.
He did. As a matter of fact, of course, he's done a lot of things for Imaginarium.
His artwork is fantastic.
Right. So there's a lot of times you can just tell Mr. Glazer, you know, here's kind of what we think, and then he's off and running. So high quality cover, and again, I'm just thrilled with this anthology all the way around. Now, granted, I'm the publisher, I'm supposed to say that, but it's really true. I'm just absolutely just thrilled with this anthology, and it's something we're very proud to sell. And I mean, Steven brought the, you know, it's going to be good when Steven Zimmer of Seven Star Press buys the very first ever book.
And by the way, I'm gonna brag just a little bit. I was on my buy on one click mode the day your ebook came out, and according to Frank, however he figured it out, I was evidently the first person to get the ebook when it went online. So.
Oh, dude!
Because I knew when it posted live, and I hit buy with one click like immediately.
But see, again, this is the joy of working with, of being around people like you and Michael and Frank and Robin and James Barnes and Eric Beebe, my evil twin, and all these people.
Oh, yes.
Is that, you know, we build these friendships, and you know, and they, you guys like me, we love to read, you know. So when you know that something's coming down the pike, it's easy to jump in and grab something. So, and we at Hydra Publications, Stephen, thank you.
Oh, well, you're most welcome. And, I'm definitely stoked to finally get a little time to read after these crazy few weeks. And I'm definitely looking forward to catch up and everything. And really cool, curious to see Michael Epstein's story, just because I know him as a filmmaker, but not as an author. So this will be very cool for me to see that side of him. That's
Hey, Steven, if we don't see at least a three-star review, I'm going to come find you.
I doubt it'll be three stars, because you've assembled quite a hell of a good lineup. But I already see Brian Brown's stuff is great, and yeah, there's so many authors on your list. They're absolutely fantastic.
Well, would you mind if I quickly announce the writers who are involved?
Oh, please.
That'd be all right.
Yeah.
We have Gregory L. Norris, we have Josh Brown, Jeff Provine, C. Brian Brown, Bob Brown, Nigel Anthony Sellers, M.P. Neal, Val Mueller, Deborah Walker, Benjamin Sperduto, and he's going to get me because I probably mispronounced that, but thankfully he does not know where I live. Colonel D.R. Acula. Now, this is another one, too, because I love Rick Marlin. Rick Marlin is just one of the coolest dudes on the planet. Not only can he write, he plays harmonica. He is just like an absolute just freak of nature. He's so cool. And then Tracy Fahey, Michael Epstein, Stephen Nealon, Pam Farley, James Doerr, Ian Meek, and, of course, Dave Creek. So, but I don't know how I got this far and didn't even mention Rick Marlin. I mean, when they develop cool dudes.
He looks like the lead guitarist for Accept. I mean, how much cooler can it get than looking like the lead guitarist for a legendary German heavy metal band? So,
yeah, and he writes,
awesome.
And he plays harmonica, and he talks
yes, he
cool, he looks cool, and of course his lovely wife, Lori, so,
Lori
I mean,
Marlin,
hey dude,
yes.
this anthology has it rocking.
It does,
everybody makes me look good.
No, I'm very happy you're in it, Colonel. It was very exciting to be able to get my book signed by you.
Hey,
that was cool.
Thank you for asking for my signature. That was that was cool.
Well,
of course, I
got to
get Robin to sign mine because I got Tony, I think, and I got Frank's. So I need to get Robin soon.
Well, like I see that Chris Brown has shown up in the chat room. I mean,
Chris
is another guy that I've really gotten close to over the last couple of years, and did so starting out at Phantom Fest when we were on the Writers Who Drink panel. Imagine that.
No. Epic panel.
Well, here's a panel about Writers Who Drink. About the only two people, well, and the only two people who bring alcohol were him and me. So... So if I'm going to do a panel on drinking, well, then I'm going to do some drinking. So,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's kind of the theme, so.
Drinking, my boy.
Drinking, writers who drink. Hemingway never did it, so, you know.
No, not at all.
No.
Right.
Yeah, we'll be doing that.
Yeah, I've never been waited to sober, so.
How many shows where we do the fireball handshake, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. Yeah,
we're not
going to
mention
fireball
shows
handshake
by name. Yeah, we're not going to mention shows by name because we don't want to get into trouble, but how many shows where the fireball handshake is standard, you know?
That is true.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Steven, I don't know how you and I don't already have a marketing deal with Fireball.
I think we ought to approach them. It's not a bad idea. Oh, man.
They need to cater. They should cater Imaginarium.
You know, they should. You know what? I tell you what. I will contact them, and I will ask them about that because we have a local outlet. And it's because, again, it's funny because I got into it a couple of years ago, and the main character from my books, he drinks Fireball whiskey. So... Victor McCain, which is I write the Victor McCain thrillers, and that's Vic's favorite drink. So, you know, so tonight, raise your fireball glass, say, hey, Victor, hey, Anthology, and away we go.
Hey, Victor, we're going to have a fireball whiskey with Holler and Holly bringing her stuff from Madison, and that would be awesome. There we go. There we go.
I think that's a great combination.
Oh, trust me, it would be. It would be awesome.
All right, Stephen, what's another one of those really cool questions you have?
If the hotel will allow it, we need to do that. We need to make that happen.
Absolutely. Oh, and just so you know, I've talked to Fireball before. What the only way Fireball, because I was talking about having maybe Fireball sponsor part of my book tour, and the only way they can sponsor it if it's at an event that serves alcohol. And that's the big drawback, is finding an event that will allow you to put up their banners because they have to serve alcohol where you're at. So here's an idea.
Well, the hotel,
Stephen,
the hotel,
and Michael.
The hotel has a bar.
Well, there you go. Well, how about this? We start doing signings at bourbon festivals.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Drunk people buying books. You know?
Mm-hmm. What could possibly go wrong?
No.
What could go wrong with
just
the Colonel Loose and the Bourbon Festival? Nah, nothing. Oh, my God. Do we need the air raid siren again?
No, don't do it. It takes me back to my childhood and the one girl I dated. Don't do that. Don't do that. So, can't have that happen.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the Colonel of the Bourbon Festival would be off the charts. Especially, oh, man, that would be awesome.
We need to do that. We need to do that. We need to do that.
That would be actually really cool. It's not a bad
idea,
though.
I think last year it was happening during Imaginarium. So this year it won't be a problem.
Yeah, that's something we ought to definitely look into.
Now, Tony, one of my dreams,
yes, sir,
is to actually...
What's that?
One of my plans is to do book signings at distilleries. So So that's something that...
Well, that would work. Like I say, if you're dreaming about book signings with Hydra instead of like Sandra Bullock, Colonel, we got to talk. So, you know, your dreams have to be pepped up just a little bit. So... by the way, just as a tangent, to show you how I know we're finally getting old, Sandra Bullock, after a long absence, finally showed up in one of my dreams, and she lectured me about something I wasn't doing. I'm like, I don't think you understand. That's not why you're here. But that's what happened. So, you know, I'm getting old.
No, not at all. Not at all.
You are just getting refined.
Yeah, that's it. That's when people see me, they think refinement. That's exactly what they think. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and shyness.
Yeah, shyness definitely.
I'm trying to break out of my shell, Stephen. I'm working on it.
Yeah, you're working on it. Yeah. That's why we had you as the MC for Imaginarium, because you're such a shy guy. Yeah.
Boom,
oh my God.
The mic. Well, and again, that was so much fun last year because, again, obviously we had somebody else involved to do it and for different reasons couldn't. And it was the first event that I'd ever emceed. And it was actually a lot of fun because the Imaginarium group is just a blast. So, and I'm really looking forward to coming back this year.
It's definitely a neat bunch. And, this year you'll have Dystopian Express display in its release, which will be kind of cool.
Don't you know it?
And Brick will be there, and several of your other authors. So,
right,
pretty sure that there's more than a few that'll be there.
So I think probably a good portion of the people will be there.
Yeah, Colonel will have a few hats to wear. No pun intended, but you know, he always looks elegant in his hat wear, but.
And I think we should explain for people who don't know that maybe tuning into this podcast for the very first time that Imaginarium is is one of the Midwest best writing conferences. That again is another brainchild of Stephen that came to fruition, and it's, you know, by writers for writers and designed with writers in mind. And so whether you like to write, you know, songwriting, screenwriting, fiction writing, makes no difference. You'll find what you want there. And then, of course, the networking that goes on. As Hydra Publications, we have signed writers there. We have signed cover artists and editors there. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're going, what's this Imaginarium stuff? It takes place, what's the date in October, Stephen? Do you remember off the top of your head?
I think I remember. October 7 to 9. Yeah.
October 7 to 9. And if you're hearing our voices and you like to write, Louisville, Kentucky is the place you want to be on that weekend. So the networking
also,
goes on. I mean, the panels are – oh, go ahead.
Also, if you like to read.
Absolutely, because you'll have the book fair there. There's, mm-hmm. what, close to sometimes as many as 100-plus authors selling books.
Yeah.
But I think the point I was going to make is, in addition to the panels that you have during the day, the networking that goes on at night, whether it be going to the, you know, the Troll Pub for the famous mm-hmm. after Saturday, you know, get together, but
networking at
the
Troll
dinners
Pub,
you have
nothing.
There, at, right? And the dinners that you have there at the hotel at the Crown Plaza, the networking that goes on is absolutely fabulous. And so, in addition to the content, it's the people that you get to meet that can help advance your career, whether you be an indie author, small press, you're getting into screenwriting, any one of those things, you can definitely improve your skill set at Imaginarium.
And we have a great lineup. I have to give a shout out to our guest of honor, Brian Keene, this year. He's phenomenal. And and then our Imaginators, Jason Sizemore and Elizabeth Beverly, New York Times bestselling romance author, and you know, we got Tim Wagner's returning, Michael Nost is returning. I mean, it's just a great, great bunch.
And if I remember correctly,
well.
Mr. Nost just got his nomination for a Bram Stoker Award, was it not? Is it Bram Stoker?
He
am I remembering
nominated,
correctly?
Yes, he's in the finals for
yeah,
Author's Guide to Marketing with Teeth, and he just won and it'll be presented there, the Silver Hammer Award, which is for like basically mentoring for Horror Writers Association, HWA. And so he did win the Silver Hammer Award, and he is a nominee for Bram Stoker.
Excellent.
So,
again, I got to interview Mr. Noss this past year at Imaginarium. And again, fabulous guy, fantastic writer. And again, this is just another example of what you're going to get if you get to come to Imaginarium. So,
Tony, do you know that Michael Noss is also a Kentucky Colonel?
I did not. Tell me
He's
more.
One of us.
Well, there
He's
you go. Excellent. You've got a lot of rank on your show tonight, Stephen. You've got a lot of colonels, so.
Well, we're just got a few minutes left, so maybe we should start giving links about where people can find these wonderful books.
Okay, well, first off, you can find all our books at HydraPublications.com. And if you check our, we have a tab that says Our Authors. And you'll find a list there for anthology, so you'll find the dystopian there. You can find it at all of the fine book retailers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes. So if you want to pick up, if you've got a hankering for dystopian, we've got you covered at anywhere fine books are sold.
Very cool.
How about that?
Awesome. That is. And Stephen, I know the Kickstarter got funded, but can people still follow the progress on the various Raiden Valkyrie sites?
Oh, yes. And sign up for the newsletter at RaidenValkyrie.com. And that's R-A-Y-D-E-N, Valkyrie, V-A-L-K-Y-R-I-E.com. There is a newsletter link, sign-up link, right on the homepage, and we will be giving regular updates on the production process and, you know, how the show is developing and things like that. So, yeah, definitely can track that, and, you know, we'll be following it in other places, but that will be a very dedicated place to follow it.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for having us tonight, Stephen. We appreciate you allowing Hydra Publications to come out and talk about this anthology and having the Colonel on. And I wish Robin had felt better so she could join in, because both Robin and Frank Hall deserve the lion's share of the credit for making this anthology a reality.
Yes, hear, hear.
Well, you are most welcome, and we'd love to have you guys on. I mean, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's a shame you didn't have anything to say.
Yeah. Well, again, it's that whole shyness thing. I'm talking to a therapist. We're trying to break through. That's why I have Frank Hall to do most of my talking for me. So we love you, Frank.
Yeah, Frank Hall agreed kindly to step aside and allow you a chance to break out of your shell tonight, Tony.
Well, it's much appreciated. And my wife saying, won't that man please ever just shut up?
Well, I have a sneaky feeling that you'll be on soon enough again.
Thank you.
And the sci-fi anthology, when is that out?
Trajectories, the e-book is already out, and the print version, we okayed it through Ingram today. So it usually takes it a little less than a week. So the print book should be available. The e-book is already available on Amazon Kindle. So if you want to get your sci-fi on, check out Trajectories.
Awesome. So you got your sci-fi, you got your dystopian. Everyone should be happy.
That's it, man. Next thing you know, we're going to do a romance anthology.
Ooh. I'll write for it.
You need to get me a good story for that.
Wait.
There.
You need
break
to
out my shell for romance novels.
Well, and I want Fabio on the cover. That's the only way it's going to happen. If I can get Fabio, I'm in. So, you know.
Fabio in a dentist outfit. See, a dentist romance anthology. It's
oh,
it writes
man,
itself.
You just ruined it for me.
Oh
Lord. Right. Oh, I got a dentist appointment in the morning. Okay. I'm going
to
go drink more Fireball, guys. All right, I'll talk
you
to you guys
it.
Later.
All right, good evening, Tony.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Be good. Good at it.
Bye. We'll And we'll see in 2 weeks when Andrea Judy had to be rescheduled, and she'll be coming on in 2 weeks with Selah Janelle and Alexander S. Brown. So thank you very much for being on the Star Chamber show tonight and watching and listening and everything else. Night, everyone.
Night, everybody.
Night.